Tonight was the start of a new chapter for AEW with their brand new show making its debut, the debut of Rampage on TNT. This is the second show that we heard so much about last year when they signed their new contract at the beginning of 2020. We were told that there was going to be a second show on TNT. We didn't know what it was going to be called. We didn't know when it was going to premiere. And then COVID hit. And everything seemed like it was put on the back burner, but in that time, the AEW roster has grown and expanded. There's even more names coming in soon, very soon, to the company. So with the roster growing and getting bigger, they needed a second show. And tonight was the debut of that second show. It has finally arrived, and just at the right time. We had three championship matches advertised for tonight. We had an Impact Championship match, we had a TNT Championship match, and we had an AEW Women's Championship main event with the hometown girl, Britt Baker, wrestling in the main event here in Pittsburgh, which was the site of Dynamite on Wednesday. But these fans in the building tonight must have had something in their cup of coffee this morning because they were hot as hell throughout the entire show. I'm sure AEW got them all amped up. Tony Khan maybe came out before the show, gave him a pep talk. Maybe if anybody was at the show tonight, they can chime in and let me know what happened in the building before they went on the air. But Pittsburgh was amped up for this show. It's always nice to have a hot crowd that's into what they are watching. Now, imagine what Chicago is going to be like a week from tonight, next Friday, in the United Center. Imagine what Chicago is going to be like in a week when we hear Cult of Personality blaring on the PA system. The one-hour format, which is what I used to love about NXT, which is really not even an hour. We're talking maybe 48 minutes. That is the perfect length. I think my attention span has shrunk over the years. This is the perfect length of a show. They had three big title matches. Now, I know it's not going to be like this every week, necessarily, but if they can keep this pace up, yeah, you give three solid matches, maybe a couple of interview segments, you keep the pace going. Before you know it, the show is over. It passes quickly, but it doesn't overstay its welcome. I like the one-hour format of this show. I am a fan of that. They were in the same building in Pittsburgh as the one that they were in on Wednesday for Dynamite. I think it was the Peterson Center, I believe is the name of the venue. So the set and the entranceway, no originality there. The set, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't expecting it because they were in the same building. So I didn't expect them to tear down the set, put something new up. Yeah, maybe in time they'll tweak it and change it just to give it a different personality from Dynamite. But same entranceway, the tunnels, the set, everything was the same. Nothing was really any different. We had Excalibur, Taz, Chris Jericho, and Mark Henry on commentary. No Justin Roberts handling the ring announcing. They had Dasha doing that duty tonight. I like Mark Henry on commentary. I think he's going to be a work in progress. It was only his first night. He was a little reserved, but I liked him. I like Mark Henry. I think there is potential for him to really grow into the role. What I did not like was Chris Jericho. And I was one of the people who praised Jericho when he first started doing commentary on AEW television and how full of energy he was. And just he gave a different voice to things, and I enjoyed it. As I have heard Jericho return to the announce booth on Dynamite many more times, and now tonight here with Rampage, and I think part of what made it worse is the fact that you had a four-man booth. So it wasn't just Jericho, it was Mark Henry, who I'm trying to listen to. He's brand new at this. We've got Taz and Excalibur, who I know have a great chemistry together on AEW Dark. In all honesty, you could probably just put the two of them on this show and they would be pretty good. But you had a four-man booth out there and you've got Jericho who is just shouting the entire time, talking over everybody. Yeah, he made a few good points, but I think tonight was the night that Chris Jericho on commentary, for me, jumped the shark. I thought Jericho was insufferable on commentary on this show. And I hope, and based on what Tony Khan said on Busted Open the other day, this is not going to be the case every week, which, thank God. This four-man booth was just for the debut episode. I guess that means we're going to get a three-man booth with Excalibur, Taz, and Mark Henry going forward. I hope so. I think that should be your announce team going forward. We do not need to hear Chris Jericho yelling and screaming every single week. Although I did like the little bit of interplay between him and Henry in the opener when they were talking about Omega and Christian. Christian from Toronto, Omega from Winnipeg, and how they had Canadian heat. I got a kick out of that, but Jericho I thought was just insufferable on this show. But we open with the match I just mentioned for the Impact World Championship, a preview of what's to come at All Out in a few weeks on pay-per-view. Kenny Omega defending the Impact World title against Christian Cage, right? Outwork everyone. Christian Cage, who has been undefeated since making his debut many months ago in AEW. And Christian, of course, someone who is not unfamiliar with being the top champion in Impact Wrestling. He was the NWA World Heavyweight Champion in TNA many years ago, I think twice. So it would be a return to a position that he is familiar with were he to win this match here tonight. I thought it was weird that they would give us the match ahead of the All Out pay-per-view. I thought maybe something would happen. There would be some kind of an injury angle or something that would take Christian out of the picture going into September 5th. It doesn't appear to be that way. They had something else in mind that played out here in the finish. We had Impact referee Brian Hebner. He was in there officiating the match tonight. I thought to myself, oh, they brought Brian Hebner in to be a referee in AEW. Maybe he replaced Rick Knox. And then I realized he's the Impact ref. Crowd was hot right from the start of this. They gave this a big fight feel. The people were into this. Yeah, you don't get to see Kenny Omega defending the championship on the regular television shows very often. Even if it wasn't the AEW title, it was still a big deal for him to be out there defending the title on TV. I will be very curious how the show does in the ratings. Friday night, not the best night. You know, even SmackDown, which is on Fox, right? Broadcast television, struggles these days to hit the 2 million mark. How is AEW going to do on a Friday night on cable? The last time that they were on Friday, Dynamite was preempted to Friday. They didn't do great. But they did their best to load this show up. Next week, of course, is going to be even more interesting. But I'm curious what the opening match did, given that they opened with the championship. So Christian took Omega down with the shoulder tackle. And then he stood there. He did the Kenny Omega gun hand gesture, and then he converted that into a middle finger. So getting in Kenny Omega's head early on here in the beginning of this match. Omega early went for the one-winged angel, but Christian turned it into a kill switch attempt, and that caused Omega to flee out to the floor to try to regroup and get his head together. So Christian went out after him, and he fell right into his trap. And Omega took over from there. He avoided a baseball slide, hit a running drop kick of his own, did Christian. That sent Omega back down to the floor. And Christian was climbing up to the top rope. Don Callis is out there. And Don Callis distracts Christian Cage, and Christian gets knocked off the top rope to the outside. That leads into the first commercial break. We come back. They're fighting up on the top rope. Christian hits a sunset bomb and proceeds to hit close to 20 punches in the corner. Normally, they do 10 punches in the corner. Christian hit 11, 12, 13, 14. He went up to about 15 or 16 punches in the corner. He goes for the kill switch. Omega fights out of it. Christian hits a reverse DDT for a near fall of his own. The near falls in this match, I have to give these guys a lot of credit. I thought the near falls in this match were really on point. They didn't overdo them, but the ones that were here were really well done, and the crowd fell for a few of them. So I thought the near falls here, you know, sometimes they just go way too crazy with them. We've seen that in Young Bucks matches. We've seen that in some Kenny Omega matches. 15 million V-triggers, you know, and kicking out of some ridiculous moves. But I thought in this match it was well done. And the crowd, again, was into every near fall here. So Omega countered with a running attack into a V-trigger, hit a power bomb, another V-trigger for a near fall. Christian fought out of the one-winged angel again. Omega tried to turn it into a different offensive move. Christian, though, fought out, hit a spear. He hit Edge's big move for a great near fall. Omega hits a snapdragon suplex, counters another kill switch attempt, and follows that up with yet another snapdragon. Christian, as Omega is coming in for another V-trigger. He stops his momentum, he snaps Omega's neck over the ropes, and then hits a frog splash for another great near fall. Don Callis distracts the referee. Now, this is the one critique I have of this match. This referee was distracted for what felt like 17 years. There is a point at which the referee, it just, you know where pro wrestling is, right? You got to suspend your disbelief. It is the theater of the absurd. But there is a point where the absurdity just goes a little too far. And I felt like we reached that point here with how long the referee was distracted by Don Callis, who was just on the apron. He was waving around. You know, at some point, the referee has to understand, all right, maybe I ought to turn around and see what's going on behind me. So I thought that it went on for comically too long, this referee distraction. But with Hebner distracted, the Young Bucks sneak down to the ring. They slid a chair into the ring to Omega. Omega tries to hit the one-winged angel on the chair. Christian, though, slips out. He hits a kill switch onto the chair. So the chair is open, and Omega goes down face first onto the seat of the chair. He's out, and the place goes nuts. Christian covers him. The referee finally turns around, and Christian Cage pins Kenny Omega. Believe that is the first time Kenny Omega has been pinned, either in a singles or a tag team match, I believe, in about a year or close to a year. So that was a big deal for Omega to take the pinfall loss here on TV, even though he got slammed face first into the chair, right? So that's kind of his out. Wasn't exactly a clean win, but a win nonetheless for Christian Cage, who is now both, I guess, both the TNA and the Impact champion. You got two different belts. And don't even ask me, why is there a TNA belt? Isn't TNA Impact? Don't ask me. It's the whole storyline they ran. It Impact with Moose and everything, and I'm not getting into it again. But he celebrated with both belts. And this was, I mean, this was a great moment for Christian Cage. I mean, he got a tremendous reaction here from the crowd in Pittsburgh. Jurassic Express ran out, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus. They're celebrating with Christian. He's holding up both belts. Scott D'Amore, right, the head over there in Impact Wrestling, he comes out. He's applauding Christian as well. You know, coming into this show, I said that one thing I really did not want to see was Kenny Omega losing before he loses the AEW World Championship. And he's not going to lose the AEW title at All Out either. But I really would have rather he stayed unbeaten until he dropped the AEW title. And then maybe, you know, he kind of goes into a depression. All of a sudden, he lost his crown jewel. And now his luck has started to change. He loses the Impact title. He loses the AAA Mega title. But I always felt like the AEW loss should come first. That's kind of how I felt about the whole thing. Having seen the moment play out here tonight the way it did, having said that, I thought it was a great moment for Christian. I felt happy for him. I felt happy for Christian Cage to, after 7 years out of the ring, not even knowing if he would, you know, be able to climb back into the ring because WWE was not going to clear him. And he thought probably that that was the end of his career. He probably thought that his career is going to end with a series of concussions in a very unremarkable kind of way. He manages to come back. He ends up in AEW. He probably never imagined that he would leave WWE. And now he gets this great moment here on TV, and to get that reaction, you know, in front of that crowd was a great moment for him. And I actually felt happy for him that he was able to get that. Now, my guess now is that Kenny Omega is going to drop the AAA Mega title because he is challenging, or not challenging, but he's defending the championship at Triple Mania tomorrow night against Andrade El Idolo. At Triple Mania. Tomorrow night's kind of a busy night. You got Triple Mania, and it's the New Japan Resurgence Show, where you're going to have Lance Archer defending the IWGP US title against Hiroshi Tanahashi. So, kind of a busy night. I'm thinking that Omega's going to drop that title as well. After all, he got dropped face first onto a steel chair, so maybe he's still a little woozy. He could still use that as an excuse if he drops the championship tomorrow night. But ultimately, he'll go to All Out, and he'll, of course, he'll retain his AEW world title. He ain't losing twice to Christian Cage. This is really the way that logically you would want it to play out, right? I mean, if these two are going to have two matches, Christian should win one of them. And it shouldn't be the one for the AEW championship. So, you know, again, not the way I would have preferred to have done it, but it does kind of make sense. You want to give Christian one win, at least. You want to make it seem like he might actually have a shot, even though he really doesn't, at winning the AEW world title. But great moment for him. I was happy for him, and I thought it was a very good match, too. I think they could have an even better match. This was only, I think, a small sample of what these two can put together, but I thought this was a very good match. After a commercial break, Mark Henry was backstage with Christian and with Jurassic Express, and Christian said he feels great. He says, great to see you, Mark. I'm glad that you're here in AEW. He said he's going to take all of Omega's titles, but he gives Omega credit. He says, Kenny Omega is the real deal. He is as delivered, one of the toughest challengers I've ever been in the ring with. And see, that's what you do. Christian's old school. You put your opponent over. You don't put them down. Because he knows he's got another match coming up with this guy. You want people to care about that match. The last thing you want to do is go out there and say, hey, this guy's a joke. This guy was a piece of cake. Now you go and you build your opponent up. You give him his props and you say, God, you know, this was the fight of my life tonight. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to go to Chicago. I'm going to go to All Out, and I'm going to win the championship. So I thought this was a fine promo. We had Miro. He was up next defending his championship, his TNT championship, against Fuego del Sol. Not exactly championship material. In fact, I believe Sammy Guevara, a little bit later on when he came out, I don't know if he was exaggerating or maybe his record legitimately is 1-50, but Fuego del Sol does not have a very good record in his AEW career. But here he is getting a TNT championship match. And also the other stipulation here as part of this match is that if he wins, he earns himself a full-time contract with All Elite Wrestling. So Fuego had a lot riding on this match, and I didn't know that Fuego apparently is from Alabama. I think Chris Jericho actually made the comment here on commentary that what kind of luchador is this guy? He's from Alabama. I felt the same way. I felt bamboozled. I thought Fuego del Sol was from someplace a little more exotic, a little more interesting that you would expect. But no, apparently he's from Alabama. So he was working to try to earn himself a contract here. Right out of the gate, before the bell even rang, the match had not even started yet, and he hits a tornado DDT to Miro. And now he is waiting for Miro to get up. He is waiting for them to call for the bell, ring the bell. Finally, they ring the bell, and he hits a second tornado DDT. Miro rolls to the outside to collect himself before Fuego could actually go for the pin. So Miro was almost counted out here. The referee is a hair away from counting this man out, and he wouldn't have won the championship, but he would have probably won the contract. Miro gets back in the ring just at the last second. And just as he gets back in the ring, Fuego hits a third tornado DDT for a very close near fall. At that point, Miro is done with the kids' games. Playtime is over. And he hits a Samoan drop, takes down Fuego del Sol, followed by a Savate kick, and then game over. Game over. Locks on the submission, Fuego del Sol taps out. And just like that, Miro retains the TNT title. So they gave you some hope spots at the very beginning, but they did not let this drag on any longer than it had to go. I mean, if we're being perfectly honest here, this went about as long as it should have gone. They gave him the hope spots at the beginning. The people were into it. I think they actually bought into that near fall after the third tornado DDT, based on how they reacted. And that was as good as it was going to get for Fuego. And then Miro decided to just put an end to this kid once and for all. So this was total domination, the way that, frankly, it should have been. And then the cherry on top of the sundae, Miro, right, the heel that he is, takes the contract. He has Fuego's AEW contract in his hand, and he rips it in half. He rips the kid's contract in half. So they go to break, and they come back. Sammy Guevara comes out. Now, I don't follow all of Sammy Guevara's vlogs. I do watch them from time to time, and I know that Fuego is featured on there, and I know the two of them are very good friends. And on commentary, Excalibur says that, you know, Fuego is like his best friend. Even though that's never really been acknowledged at all on Dynamite. You know, up until recently, Sammy was the heel anyway with the Inner Circle. But out comes Sammy Guevara, and out comes Tony Khan. So at least we know Tony Khan was watching the show tonight, unlike that episode of Dark when he was in the back, I think he said, when Max Caster did his rap. Max Caster, who now has to go for sensitivity training, which is bullshit. But anyway. So Tony Khan comes out, and he produces what appears to be a brand new AEW contract on a clipboard, and he hugs Sammy, he hands it to Sammy. Tony goes back to the gorilla position. Sammy has a mic, and he comes down to the ring, and he says, you know, sometimes there is victory in defeat. He goes, even though you're like 1 in 50, who cares? Who cares? Because these people love you. And with that, he hands him a brand new full-time AEW contract, and he says that Fuego del Sol is officially all elite. And the two of them hug, and the place cheers, and Fuego had tears in his eyes, which I'm sure were legit, and it was a nice moment. But all I could think is, stipulations be damned. The whole point of the match was that he had to win to get the contract, or at least go in there and have, like, a really great showing, right? Even in defeat. I mean, even though he got a couple of moves off in the beginning, let's be honest, the guy went in there and he got destroyed, pretty much, in under 2 minutes. He don't deserve a full-time contract. Although, I guess if Dr. Luther has a contract, then why not Fuego del Sol? So, actually, I changed my mind on that. If Luther has a contract with AEW, then Fuego del Sol deserves one, too. But that's all I could think of. Stipulations be damned. It's like what we saw in NXT a few weeks ago in that Love Her or Leave Her Alone match, whatever it was called, with Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis. You know, if Dexter Lumis wins, then he and Indy Hartwell can be together. They used language there to get around that stipulation, because it was actually Indy Hartwell, even though Dexter lost, who jumped his bones and went after him. I guess the stipulation was that he would have to stop pursuing her. So it was a matter of semantics, but I just love how they just keep making these stipulations. They don't mean a friggin' thing. Sting and Darby Allin. They were there. They didn't speak. They didn't wrestle. They didn't do anything other than stand up in the rafters. We haven't seen Sting in the rafters on TNT in over 20 years. 20 years he has spent up there in those rafters. That would have been a great way to debut him, come to think of it. Just one day, just put the camera up there and go, wait a minute. Is that who I think it is? And there's Sting. And it's almost as if he never left. You could just pretend the TNA and the WWE days never happened. He's just been sitting up there in the rafters waiting for wrestling to come back to TNT. What took you so long? There he is, watching the show from above, up there with Darby Allin, and they cut to a video package showing Darby's comments a few weeks ago about how if you want to prove that you are the best in the world, that you need to be right here in All Elite Wrestling. And then, you know, the best in the world comments that he dropped a couple of weeks ago, they got everybody buzzing, right? And pretty much was the surest sign that not only is that Punk is coming in, but that his first match or his first program was probably going to be with Darby Allin. Now, there was no mention of Punk here at all, unless they're saving it for Dynamite this coming Wednesday. There was no mention of Punk, because I didn't know. I thought maybe this week they were just going to start advertising CM Punk. Or they were, instead of saying his name, they were going to have a commercial or an ad for the show next week that basically told you without telling you that he's going to be there. They would show his logo or something, right? They didn't do any of that. And I like that. I prefer, as a fan, even though we all know he's coming in, there's just no doubt at this point that CM Punk is coming in. Is it going to be next week? Is it going to be It All Out? I'm fairly certain it will be next week. is why they booked that arena in the first place. 13, 14,000 people they're going to have in that building who are not going to be very happy if they don't get CM Punk. But I would rather they save it as a surprise. Everybody knows who it is. Everybody knows he's coming in, but you don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. You don't have to acknowledge it. You don't even have to tease it. Just let it happen. And he will blow the roof off that building as soon as that music hits. 7 years these people have been waiting. You're in Chicago. You're in the guy's home market. You don't have to say a word. So I'm glad they didn't announce anything. They still might. They could absolutely still announce something on Dynamite this Wednesday. If they really want people to know he's there, they really want to pop a big number, then maybe they'll say something. But I would rather they just keep their mouth shut and don't even say a word. I don't think they have to. But actually, these two, there was a hint that Punk himself, this wasn't even AEW. There was something earlier today that I wanted to bring up here. What you see on the left is something that CM Punk posted on his Instagram. This was an Instagram story. And there you can see it is the back cover, what appears to be either the cover or the back cover of an old Ring of Honor video, talking about how it was 16 years ago today, the final chapter. But if you look at the very end of what he wrote, he mentions how nothing is over until you're underground, right? That's how Punk ended that passage. On the right is a picture of Darby Allin, and would you look at the tattoo right in the middle of his chest? Nothing is over until you're underground. Subtle, but not really all that subtle. So it's happening, and it's happening next Friday. They also didn't announce any kind of main event or anything for next week. They didn't announce anything for next week other than they're going to be at the United Center, and it's going to be the biggest AEW crowd of all time, at least until they go to Arthur Ashe, you know, next month for Dynamite. So it's going to be Punk confronting Darby. How they're going to do it, are they going to save it for the end of the show? Are they going to open the show with it? I don't know, but seems like a safe bet at this point. And then it was time for the main event. Britt Baker, DMD, the hometown girl, defending her AEW Women's Championship against Red Velvet. In the first ever, first official women's main event in AEW history. You might hear me say that, and you might say, well, Solomonster, don't you remember Britt Baker had that great unsanctioned match with Thunder Rosa on Dynamite in the main event just a few months ago? That is true. She did. That is true. But it was unsanctioned. So according to AEW, this counted as the first official women's main event match in AEW history tonight. Whether or not you consider it to be is, of course, entirely up to you. But they established in the pre-match promo segment, they had Mark Henry in a box in the middle of the screen, Britt Baker to the left, or to his right, I guess, and then to his left was Red Velvet. And he asked Red Velvet a question. Red Velvet was totally healing it up. She was playing heel in this promo. She was being booed. You could hear the boos in the background. They knew coming in who was going to be booed and who was going to be cheered. Even though Britt Baker has never acted like a babyface throughout this entire period that she's been cheered now for weeks. And you look at even what happened at the end of the night. She was a total heel. And they still cheered her because it's Pittsburgh. Britt was wrestling with a broken right wrist. So she had that sleeve or that cast on her wrist. Red Velvet was focusing on it for part of the match. There was a swinging neck breaker to Red Velvet. Britt transitioned over into the lockjaw, but Velvet countered into a pin attempt for two. Red Velvet, a little bit later on, she starts ripping off the sleeve that Britt had on her arm or cast or whatever it was. And there was a glove on her hand. She ripped the glove off. She was going to go to town here. She was going to go to work on this woman's wrist. But there was a distraction from Reba, or Rebel, that allowed Britt to try for a near fall. Rebel ends up getting ejected, and the place boos. So she gets thrown out by the referee. Red Velvet hits a super kick and then a moonsault press for a near fall. Then Britt Baker hits an Adam Cole special. She hits an Ushiguroshi. I don't think I'm trying to think if I've ever seen Britt Baker hit an Ushiguroshi in one of her, maybe she may have, but it's the first time I can remember her using that move. So she hits an Ushiguroshi, drops her head and neck first down across her own knee, followed by a curb stomp for a near fall. Red Velvet recovers. She tries for a lockjaw of her own. She tries to use Britt Baker's own move. Britt is sliding towards the bottom rope. She's trying to make it for a rope break. As she's inching closer, though, Red Velvet gets her foot on the bottom rope and pushes off. So, yeah, very similar to what Sasha Banks and Bayley did in their Brooklyn match at TakeOver many years ago, where Sasha had Bayley locked in the bank statement. Remember, she starts stomping on Bayley's hand as she's trying to reach for the ropes, and then Sasha uses her foot to push off. But then Bayley gets this great transition, and she's got the bank statement now on Sasha. They use the same spot here. Red Velvet pushes off with her own foot, but Britt rolls through, and she gets lockjaw applied to Red Velvet. Red Velvet, though, begins hammering away on the injured wrist, so she's able to break free from the move. She's hammering away on the injured wrist. But Britt Baker eventually gets lockjaw applied with her other hand, her good hand. She gets the fingers in the mouth. She presses down on all the pressure points. She's a switch hitter, as Excalibur said. And Red Velvet submits. Britt Baker retains her AEW Women's Championship. After the match was over, Britt Baker takes Red Velvet and she hits another swinging neck breaker. Bells ringing furiously. She sets up for another curb stomp. Before she can hit it, though, Chris Statlander comes in to make the save and probably gets, as I said on Wednesday, she's pretty much, seems pretty obvious, she's going to be getting the next title shot at Britt Baker at All Out on September 5th. So she's down there to make the save. All of a sudden, though, we see a hooded figure emerge. There's a hooded figure, this mystery person who's now in the ring, and she attacks Chris Statlander, and then she unmasks to reveal Jamie Hayter, we are told, all the way from, because I didn't recognize who it was at first. When I first saw this woman, they said, Jamie Hayter, all the way from England. She hasn't been seen in almost 2 years in AEW. But when she pulled the mask off, my first thought, it looked like Becky Lynch to me. Which is completely preposterous when you think about it, especially with Seth Rollins being in WWE. But my first thought was, for a split second, that looked like Becky Lynch. And when you really look at her, she really doesn't look like Becky Lynch. But for whatever reason, that was my first thought. And I said, there's no fucking way. If Tony Khan managed to bring in CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, and Becky Lynch, then he is a fucking wizard, okay? So it was not Becky Lynch. It was Jamie Hayter. And Jamie Hayter, I had to look it up to see when she was last even on television. And I didn't realize this, but her first match on Dynamite was almost 2 years ago, October of 2019, when Dynamite debuted later on that month. And her very first opponent on Dynamite, Britt Baker. How about that? And now, all these years later, she's her new henchwoman, it looks like. I don't know if Britt Baker is starting a faction of her own or what, because she already has Rebel. But now it looks like she's going to have Jamie Hayter as, I don't know, a bodyguard or just an ally or exactly what the nature of their relationship is going to be. So, Baker curb stomps Red Velvet on the championship belt. What a great babyface. Curb stomps this woman on the belt to end the show. I thought that, as I said earlier, I think the one-hour format for this show is perfect. It gets right to the point, whatever the key matches are. There's no kind of wasted time on this show. It doesn't drag. Now, it's only one episode. Maybe, you know, talk to me in 3 weeks. If I'm still reviewing this show live in 3 weeks, maybe it'll feel like it's dragging. I suspect that next week is going to be a lot of fun as well. So you got to wait until week 3, week 4, week 5. Then we'll see what kind of matches they're putting on this show. In a month, are we going to be talking about Rampage and a main event of Fuego del Sol, you know, against Will Hobbs? Or are we going to be getting some actual stars on this show? To hear Tony Khan talk about what his plans are for Rampage, there is going to be star power on this show. And you have to. You have to have some star power on this show to keep people engaged. So if they can follow this format, if they can follow this formula going forward, then I think this is the perfect formula for the show. So I like that. The commentary was good, aside from Jericho, who, for the most part, I thought was insufferable. I thought the opening match easily was the best match. I mean, the main event even wasn't that good. It really was not that good of a match. The Miro match, I can't even really grade it because it was, you know, it was almost like more of an angle. It was 90 seconds long, if that. It was all about the opening match, which I thought was very good. It was a nice little appetizer, I think, to what those two could do it All Out, even though I wouldn't have done that. But a great moment for Christian all the same. Now, the Dynamite lineup for this Wednesday is Young Bucks defending the AEW Tag Team titles against Jurassic Express. Shawn Spears one-on-one with Sammy Guevara, who's going to have some kind of a major announcement. Darby Allin and Sting take on 2.0, the former Ever-Rise from NXT, in a Texas Tornado match. And Chris Jericho, one-on-one in his fifth labor, the fifth labor of Jericho. I promise that there will not be another thumbnail that will scar you the way that the thumbnail did for the Dynamite review this week for the fourth labor of Jericho. Actually, I can't guarantee that. Well, I never know where my mind is going to go with these things. But it is the fifth labor, Jericho one-on-one against MJF. Obviously, I don't expect any kind of clean finish there. I had one person suggest to me, I think he sent me an email, I forgot who it was, which is an interesting idea. You know, the stipulation is that Jericho on Wednesday cannot use the Judas effect. He won't even be able to come out to Judas as his theme song, but he cannot use the Judas effect. And somebody emailed me and suggested that Jericho should just hit the Judas effect right at the beginning of the match. You know, even if it gets him disqualified and he loses. Just hit it right away, and then he could just beat the crap out of MJF. And MJF, even though he said that if you use the move, you know, you won't be able to, you know, to get me in another match, he'll be so upset and so incensed that he'll agree to another match with Jericho at the pay-per-view. Maybe. I mean, I think that's kind of lame if that's where they end up going with this, but clearly this is going to build to some kind of a stipulation match at All Out. A match that MJF should win. Jericho has had to win four matches to get to this point. He has won four straight times. So Jericho has won plenty of matches already. But this has been going on now for so many months. And MJF was the one who got the win in the Blood and Guts match, which was great. But I don't think this needs to be a 50-50 situation where, okay, well now Jericho has to get the win. No, he doesn't. Jericho shouldn't be winning. MJF should win at All Out when they go to the pay-per-view. But clearly that is what this is building to, another match at All Out. How they get there and what they end up doing on Wednesday, we'll have to wait and see. We got two polls going. One right here in the YouTube chat, I should say. We've got about 900 votes. And you guys seem to think that this was a huge thumbs-up show. 93% thumbs up, 7% thumbs down. And over on the Twitter side, we've got over, wow, look at this, almost 1,200 votes. 90.2% thumbs up, 9.8% thumbs down. So everybody seemed pretty happy with the show tonight. I mean, just right before I went on the air, I was just checking some of the tweets, some of the tweet replies to this poll that you guys were sending me. And you guys seemed, on the whole, pretty happy with the show tonight. It's week one. It's week one. The key is going to be, can they sustain this going forward and keep people coming back for a one-hour show every Friday? We don't know yet, because this was only show number one. But I do feel like if they can give us more shows like the one we had tonight, I think they'll do a pretty good job of retaining the audience. Now, what that audience looks like, how big that audience is going to be, that we don't know. That we'll have to just wait and find out. But let us find out what you guys thought of the show. what questions you guys have. Let's go to your Super Chats, because we do want to hear from you. We want to find out what you guys have to say. And I do thank everybody who drops a Super Chat. You are not obligated to do so, but when you do, you support the channel. And I thank you for that. So let us go and begin with Nayef, who dropped $9.99. Nayef, I hope you're having a great Friday night. I hope you have a great weekend. I'm trying to look around here. There was a spider sitting on top of my camera. I had a Peter Parker moment here a little while ago. I thought it was just going to jump out right at my face and bite me. I don't know where it went. It's literally, it wasn't on the lens, but it was crawling all over the camera, and now it's vanished. I don't know. Is it in my cup? No, it's not in my cup. I don't know where it went. But if you hear me squeal like a bitch, you'll know why. It's because Spider-Man has returned. Future Endeavored with the $5 Super Chat. Kenny is on his way to surgery. Finally, he will lose to Andrade, and I'm calling a different contender at All Out. Yeah, there's a lot of people who think the reason that he's dropping, or he dropped this title, he might drop the title tomorrow. You know, Kenny Omega was pretty beat up for a good part of the year. Going back to the end of last year, he had a minor tear in his shoulder. My understanding is that he's been doing better. Not that he's 100%, but that physically he's doing okay. So I don't think it's an issue where he needs immediate surgery for anything. I don't think so. I don't believe that's why he dropped the championship tonight. I could be wrong, but that is not my understanding of his physical condition. S. Haney, who the hell is Jamie Harder? Jamie Hayter. H-A-Y-T-E-R. She is a talent from England who briefly appeared in AEW a couple of years ago, pre-pandemic, and has not been back since, I'm sure because of the pandemic. But now she's back. I couldn't tell you whether or not she's going to be great in the ring or not. I've seen very little of her. I can only vaguely remember seeing some of her matches, so we'll see, but she's another addition to the women's division, so to me that can't be a bad thing. Food Hive, I had tears for Fuego. I love this company. Oz and Glorious, also very excited to see Fuego del Sol earn himself a full-time AEW contract. We got a lot of Fuego del Sol fans here in the chat tonight. I guess he could be that scrappy underdog babyface that people want to get behind, right? Every company needs at least one of those. WWE just got rid of one. And Leon Ruff. EJ Slemp, thumbs up for the wrestling, thumbs down for the commentary. Now, is that thumbs down for the commentary as a whole, or is that thumbs down for the commentary of one Chris Jericho? We got a $7 Super Chat here from Dell. Is that, or is it DiLorenz? DiLorenzo? I think the main event and opener should have switched places, and commentary was rough, but happy for my boy Christian. Yeah, the only reason they did it that way is because of Britt being from Pittsburgh, and they knew she was going to get a huge reaction. That is the only reason that she headlined the show tonight. Any other week, I agree 100%. It should have been Jericho. It should have been Omega and Christian in the main event. That would have been a great moment to end the show on. Food Hive, Christian Cage for the dub. Loved that match. Boots with the $2 Super Chat. What's going on, Boots? Boots to asses all night long. Ryan Spies with the $5. Probably should have cut a few seconds off of something else so Britt could tell the live crowd who that was, since Jamie looks completely different now. Yeah, she looks like Becky Lynch. I'm telling you, that was my first thought. I can't be the only one. Ryan again, Hayter legit was a massive shock for me, at least since there were rumors recently of her being NXT UK. That's right, you know what? You make a great point. There were rumors about that. Her name was mentioned. And Will Ospreay's girlfriend whose name just escaped me. She was rumored for a while as well, and she did, I believe, officially sign with NXT UK. But now that you mentioned that, Jamie Hayter's name was mentioned. I guess she told WWE to get lost. Quintus Brown, great show tonight. How many Red Bulls do you think Jericho drank before the show tonight? His energy was through the roof. You know, look, energy is a great thing, but it didn't work out tonight. He had his moments, but I just thought he was insufferable with the yelling and the screaming, and then some points he was talking over people. You know, four is a crowd in an announce booth anyway. We do not need that going forward. You want to do a three-man booth, Mark Henry, Taz, and Excalibur. I feel like I barely heard Taz tonight. He sounded awfully quiet. That's what happens when Chris Jericho is yelling at the top of his lungs. Level 20 with the $5 Super Chat. I enjoyed the show tonight. The commentary was fine, but I would prefer a rotating commentary team that Tony said was going to happen. That would be fine too, but you don't need four people. You can rotate whoever you want. There is no need for four commentators on a one-hour show. Period. End of story. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury, that opening graphic was amazing. Well, it is Friday the 13th, and I wanted to do something special. So it just felt appropriate to bust out the hockey mask for the intro tonight. Happy Friday the 13th, by the way, to everybody. I hope you all had a killer day. Kyle Meyer with the $10 Super Chat. So much to digest in 1 hour. I don't know if it's anxiety, but that show has me completely unable to relax. Rampage is a very fitting name. I felt Mark Henry's sweat. You might be having a panic attack. I think you ought to get that checked out. I'm a little concerned about you, Kyle. You got me worried now. Jacob Donnelly with the $5 super... B. Priestley, by the way. Thank you, Coggies. That's right. B. Priestley is who I was talking about before. She did sign with NXT UK. She's got a different name now. They gave her a different name. But Jacob Donnelly says, very good showing for Rampage this week, and with the debuting best in the world, Shane McMahon, next week, it is only going to get better. You imagine... You imagine the heat if Shane McMahon did his little Shane shuffle out in the United Center next week? Yeah, jealous Triple H would probably be. At this point, he probably wants out too, the way they're treating him down there. Shane McMahon does the Shane shuffle and then Punk comes out. See, I like the idea. I can understand how appealing it would be for a promoter to get real heat for a few minutes to hit Punk's music and have somebody else, like have Colt Cabana come out or something, you know? But then you ruin the initial pop. You can't do that. You're going to play the music, the man himself has to come out. I know it's very tempting to do something like that, and it would get massive heat. But a moment like this, 7 years in the making, you can't ruin it by sending somebody else out there. You can't take away from that initial pop. You got to send the man out. Send for the man. That's all you got to do. This is a very simple thing that AEW has to do next week on the show. You don't have to overcomplicate things. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You play the music, you send him out for whatever it is that he's there to do, and you let the crowd react. You block out 20 or 30 minutes for the initial entrance, for him to absorb the reaction from the crowd, and then cut whatever promo he's going to cut. You got to block out at least half the show. Show's only an hour long, right? They got a hard stop at 11 p.m. You got to at least give the guy half an hour. Damian Cole with the $10 Super Chat. That's the Russo on a Pole Super Chat. Great show tonight. Had me on the edge of my seat for the full hour. I cannot ask for much more. The crowd killed it. The United Center is going to blow up with crowd noise. Well, I think that's what they're banking on, right? That's why they booked an NBA building. That's why they're going to have 14,000 people and they're going to have their biggest crowd ever. And they're hoping they blow the roof off the joint, which I'm sure they will. Hulkling 93 with the $5 super chat. Interesting detail that Hayter sides with Britt in Pittsburgh since she was Britt's opponent the last time AEW was in the city. Yeah, and as I mentioned in my review, she was the first opponent. Britt Baker was the first opponent for Jamie Hayter in her debut on Dynamite 2 years ago. Or almost 2 years ago. There's Sting. Little Sting super chat there, lounging out. Watching some Rampage. Gerald Moore with the $5. Do you think CM Punk's theme song will be the same or something generic? I cannot wait for him to come in. It's got to be Cult of Personality. There's, you know, if WWE can license it, I see no reason why Tony Khan wouldn't be able to license it. So it's got to be, I mean, as someone who remembers the old Punk entrances from Ring of Honor when he would come out to Miseria Cantare, part of me would love for him to come out to that music. Maybe you could even do a deal where he comes out to the AFI song. Because if you know that song, if you know the Miseria Cantare song, you know how it starts. It's kind of that slow, brooding open. I almost think you can do a combo where maybe you open with that theme song, let it play out for the first 30 or 60 seconds of the song before the hard part kicks in. And right at that moment, Cult of Personality, you cut to that. I'd be fine with that too. Off Leather Wings. Have you ever watched Benoit versus Regal from the Brian Pillman Memorial Show? It's the match that got Regal his job back. Super underrated match. It is the match that got Regal his job back. I did see it many years ago, but I have not seen it probably in... probably 20 years or almost 20 years now. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Fuego del Sol. Getting that AEW contract despite losing gave me all types of feels. Dry chicken without flavor. That was a fantastic start to kick off AEW Rampage. Andrew Jorlog with the $20. Andrew, thank you. What's going on, Andrew? Damn, that was good. And next week we'll pop any one rating. I don't know what that means. I assume you mean a big rating. Off Leather Wings, have you ever... Oh, wait. Did he send that twice, or am I reading the same one? No, I think I read it twice. Demonte, 24, wanted to check in on my 27th birthday to say once again that you are the best in the IWC. Love how rugged AEW feels compared to WWE. Fans of both. I have not heard a wrestling company referred to that way, as rugged. There definitely is a different feel right now between the two companies. AEW has a lot of momentum right now. It will not last. They're almost in this, not honeymoon, that's not the right word, but with all the buzz about the incoming talent and, of course, the United Center show and the Arthur Ashe show finally being back on the road for the first time in a year, they're riding this wave of momentum. All waves at some point, though, crash. And the key is, how do you position yourself? How do you position your company when that wave dies down? And that wave inevitably crashes. That's going to be the question. How long can they sustain this for? Because I'm already seeing, and I follow WrestleTix, T-I-X, on Twitter. It's a great account. If you are into that kind of stuff and you want to follow along how WWE and AEW and different promotions are doing in terms of, ticket sales, you could already see in some of these cities, they're not doing as hot as they have been doing. Is that a sign that things are beginning to die down? Maybe. Or maybe it just means that in some markets, they're not going to be able to move as many tickets. Especially if they go into some of these smaller cities and these smaller venues. But right now, they've got all the momentum. I have to say, I'm very surprised. WWE, very early on, weeks ago, they moved 40,000 tickets for SummerSlam, which is a very impressive number. But that was weeks ago, before they even announced John Cena against Roman Reigns. And John Cena came back, and John Cena has been very helpful to them in terms of, like, house shows and moving some tickets for those events. But I saw that the current number for SummerSlam at Allegiant Stadium is up to, like, 41,000. I thought for sure by the time they started to really announce the card and they announced Cena against Reigns that that would go up to, like, 50,000. And that hasn't happened. They're not even close. That's surprising to me. Because they really haven't moved. They haven't budged all that much from what they sold weeks ago. That, to me, is not good. That surprised me. Now, there's still a couple more weeks, right? Actually, no. When is SummerSlam? SummerSlam's in a week. Yeah, so SummerSlam is 8 days from now. I thought they would have moved more since that announcement. Dada and Boy podcast. What a name. Miro, Christian, Mox, Brody, Jericho, ex-WWE guys winning the gold. That's true. Although Jericho was absolutely the right choice to be the first champion. I will fight anybody who argues otherwise. That was exactly the move they needed to make. Let's see. Go back and read the super chat you skipped solo. Which one did I skip? I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Let's see. Which one did I skip? I'm going to make sure I don't miss anybody. Anyway, Demonte, happy birthday. I forgot to mention that. Happy birthday to Demonte. I don't see which one I missed, so if I did miss one, let me know in the chat. And I shall go back and figure out which one it was. Let's move on here. Coggies. Happy to celebrate the inaugural Rampage with you and our peeps. Supercharged excitement. I feel like a kid again. Can't wait for podcast Dynamite Rampage next week. Was it off leather wings? I think he sent it twice. I think that's what it was. I definitely... the Brian Pillman Memorial Show. I mentioned that one. Yeah, no, what happened is I think he sent it twice. So I think that was the confusion there. Will Rob with the $5. I currently reside in Madison, Alabama. I take offense to that comment, Mr. So. What, look, hey, Madison, Alabama is not... What was the word I used when I was talking about Fuego? Exotic. It's not an exotic city. It's not an offensive thing. It's not an exotic city. I don't even look at New York as being all that exotic. Probably because I've lived here my whole life. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just stating the truth. What's so exotic about it? I'm sure it's a lovely place. Exotic is not a word I would use. Dry chicken without flavor, Fuego del Sol. And Jamie Hayter are now all elite. Oz and Glorious. How dare you doubt Fuego's contract cred? I'd rather watch him and or Dr. Luther any day over QT Marshall. Shout out to the MIA, Ken terminated by DQ. Yeah, Ken's been missing the last couple of streams. Hopefully he's doing okay. KD became a sound-off superstar. Became a new member of our channel. Welcome to KD. You can become a channel member. We have two different tiers of membership. We've picked up a whole bunch of new members over the last 10 days or so. Are you one of them? You should be. You can click that join button down below this video. You'll see a video pop up of me, and I'll give you all the details. Cerulean Capuchin with the 278 super chat. Thank you, Cap. Appreciate it. Level 20 with the $5. I'm willing to let that stipulation slide for Fuego because it was a feel-good moment. If they keep doing it, then I'll side with your opinion. It was a one-time thing. I was making more of a broad joke. That's why I brought up the NXT stuff from a few weeks ago. I only mention it because I've now seen multiple matches in the last few weeks where stipulations have been danced around. See, I'm an old school guy. I think stipulation should mean something. even though every time they do a retirement match, nobody ever actually retires. Ed Smith, I am more excited and pumped for 1 hour of Rampage next week than I am for the entirety of SummerSlam. Wow. You're not excited for Reigns and Cena? You're not excited for Goldberg and Sunberg to be there? You know, Sunberg is going to be there. You think Sunberg is going to take a bump? He's 15 years old. You think he'll take a bump? Jared M. is joining us on a Friday night. With the $35 Super Chat drop, that puts you in the number one spot for the night. Jared, thank you. Jared is a big supporter. Yes, I too am excited for the SmackDown portion of SummerSlam. As I said a few weeks ago, that is really the only portion of SummerSlam that I am excited about. Although, once they officially announce Randy Orton and Matt Riddle challenging for the tag team titles, that will become my favorite Raw match on the Raw side. That hasn't happened yet. But they could just chop off the whole fucking Raw side of SummerSlam for all I care. I know, I mean, silly me, I'm not excited for Drew McIntyre against Jinder Mahal. And Bill Goldberg against Bobby Lashley. What a terrible person I am. Frost in the chat says that would be assault on a minor. Once you step over that barricade and you get into the, you step into the ring or in the ringside area, hey, it's fair game. Bobby Lashley should spear him in half. Want to get some real heat? You spear Sunberg right in the middle of the ring. You send him back to school. Send him back to his virtual classroom. EJ Slemp. Rumor is that AEW wants to run a stadium show at American Family Field, formerly Miller Park in Milwaukee. I would love that to be Revolution's venue. Revolution is in February. Do you really want to be... Now, is that indoors or outdoors? See, some stadiums have a roof. If that's outdoors, I don't know that you want to be running a stadium in Milwaukee in February. That does not sound like a fun idea to me. Oz and Glorious, Kenny Omega pulled off an Ushigoroshi Wednesday and then won tonight from DMD. Seems like a sign, baby. Adam Cole right now has a very important decision to make. I hope he makes the right one. I've made it very clear where I think he should go. Of course, it's his career. He's going to make the call. But as a fan of his work, I don't want him in that company anymore. His future is not bright if he stays in WWE. So I am hopeful that he will take a walk. That's what I'm hoping for. Isaac in the chat says, I don't think I've gotten to your super chat yet, Isaac. I think it might be coming up soon. But if not, I will go back if I missed it. But I think it's just that I haven't gotten there yet. Gotta give me time. What, you got a hot date? You got someplace to be? I'm your date tonight. I'm your date tonight. Quintus Brown, it has been great to watch the growth of Britt Baker from beginning to now. She is a star. It has been fun to follow. You know, I was on her a lot at the beginning because she just was not very good. And she was completely miscast as a babyface. Once she turned heel, and I think it was around the time I was on that Jericho cruise the beginning of last year, you could see. In fact, that might have been where it began. You could see the beginning of the transition, and it took her a little bit of time, but she got more comfortable in it and more comfortable in her own skin and as a speaker. And it's just completely night and day now. I mean, compared to how things were for her at the very beginning. Night and day. Cap, with another... I'm going to call you Cap, because I don't want to butcher your name. But Cap just dropped a $14 Super Chat. Hey, it's 4:30 a.m., just got home. Drunk and time for Rampage. First time live, and one question. Are there too many teams in AEW? Seems like everyone is in a group these days, and it bothers me. What are your thoughts? They do have a lot of groups... teams, they I think are perfectly fine. They have a very strong tag team division, which I like. I don't have any issue with the tag team division. I think, like I said, the no issue with having a high number of teams. But as far as factions and groups and trios and all that, yes, they probably have a few too many, which is why I think if they introduce trios belts, yeah, I'm usually not a fan of adding more titles, but I think in this case it would work just because they have so many of them. Dry chicken without flavor. I'm calling it Adam Cole, 9-3-21. Is that Rampage? That's the Friday before All Out? Now, why do you say 9-3-21? What is it about that date in particular? Ryan Spies, how dare you imply Luther doesn't deserve a full-time contract? If anything, he deserves a raise. He's lucky to have a contract with AEW. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But he don't have no business being on TNT. That's why he's on Dark most of the time. Nyef, thank you for the $9.99 super chat. Antox in the chat says, there's no such thing as too many factions. Then you must have missed WWF in 1997. When we had gang wars. Los Boricuas, the Truth Commission, DOA. The Cure for Insomnia. You can definitely have too many factions. Dan Richards, marry or kill. Jericho's commentary, or Vic Joseph's. Oh! I'll take Jericho's commentary just because at least it's actual commentary. It's not gas pains. It's like Vic Joseph ate something that he shouldn't have. Oh! Oh! Take that man to the hospital. He needs to get his stomach pumped. There we go. See, Isaac, I told you I didn't miss your super chat. You just got to be patient with me. Isaac, buy or sell on the worst sweet Saudi moment, Shane McMahon winning the Best in the World trophy, or Undertaker winning whatever that trophy was called. Wasn't it the Samovar trophy? Oh, I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of that Royal Albert Hall show they did in 1991. Boy, that's going back. That's the wrong trophy. Yeah, I don't remember what the hell they called this one. They both sucked. They both sucked. I mean, I guess Shane probably was worse just because we had to endure months after that of him running around calling himself the best in the world. Undertaker won a trophy, and that was it. I'm sure he didn't even take it home with him. He's like, fuck that. I'm not taking that on the plane. So it's like, it wasn't really as offensive because he won, and then it was forgotten about. It was pretty much one and done. So I'll say the Shane thing was worse. Dallas Caballero with the $5 super chat. Christian Cage should change his gimmick to an Amazon driver because he always delivers. So happy to see him win one more world title. Hashtag peep for life. I'm going to disagree with you in this respect. Not that Christian does not deliver and Christian is not very good. But you used the Amazon. Well, I mean, you were saying an Amazon driver. So I'll give you a pass on that. I thought you were referring more to Amazon delivery. Amazon uses this company, and I don't know if you guys have had this experience. Amazon uses a company called LaserShip to deliver their stuff. LaserShip should rename themselves LaserShit because they do a horrible job of delivering stuff. They will send you a notification and tell you that it has been delivered, but the package, in fact, has not been delivered. In fact, it could be days before it's finally delivered. But yet they tell people that the package has been delivered. This has happened 3 times now, and I thought I was the only one. I go online, and there are pages and petitions dedicated to LaserShip and how horrible they are. So now you sent me on that rant. I'm sure the drivers, though, it's not their fault. But yeah, Laser Ship sucks. Dry chicken without flavor. Chris Bay, the finesse, is part of Bullet Club. Now, what if Private Party found Bullet Club t-shirts in their locker or at the bar as an invitation? So then they would be trading, the Hardy Family Office for Bullet Club, one group for another? Rudder! It's one of our new super chats. That'll give you nightmares. I don't know, Private Party and Bullet Club, it would be great for Private Party. You know, for them to be part of Bullet Club would be probably better than what they're doing now. Boy, they lost a lot of luster. I mean, yeah, there was a period of time in AEW many months ago where Private Party was one of the hot teams in the company. And they have been completely cooled off. I don't see how this association with Matt Hardy has helped them at all. Maybe that's what they were going for. They thought maybe Matt could help them in some way. On camera anyway, as far as storyline-wise, he's done just the opposite. Being part of that group has done them no favors. And they're not heels. That's part of the problem, too. I think they're just a natural babyface team. I think they're miscast, honestly, as heels. KD with the $10. I think Christian winning was the correct way to go for the Impact title, and thank you for agreeing. I thought I was the only one who thought Jericho was all over the place. No, you were definitely not the only one. Quintus Brown, buy, sell, rent. Title runs so far. Bianca, Britt Baker, and Deonna Purrazzo. Also, would you like to see Deonna against Britt title for title at the New York City show? Not really. Title for title, no. I mean, as a match, yeah, I think that would be a cool match. Title for title, then you're just in this situation where somebody has two belts and then they're going to have to lose it. I don't think it needs to be title for title. You want to have a champion against champion kind of friendly competition type of thing? You could do that. Title for title, I'm not a fan of. So buy, sell, rent on the title runs, though, for Bianca, Britt Baker, and Deonna. I feel like Britt hasn't had the title as long as the other two, so it's a little hard to judge. She hasn't really defended it very often. Deonna Purrazzo, I feel like she's been the champion for a while. I might go buy on Deonna, even though I don't really follow Impact. I mean, I am aware of her run, and I've seen some of her work from this championship run that she's on right now, but I don't watch week to week. I haven't seen every title defense that she's had. But I would probably say Deonna I would buy on. I would... It's tough. It's tough. You know, I probably would rent Bianca and sell Britt only because Britt just hasn't had the belt that long. And Britt has not really had that really great title match or a title defense yet. So she might in these next few months, but... it hasn't happened yet. So for now, I probably would have to sell on her. Brian Mahoney with the $10 Super Chat. I like the desperation it is going to cause Omega to try to keep the AEW title. It will bring the best out of him against Hangman at Grand Slam, hopefully where the most eyes will see his big win. Yeah, I'm hoping that Hangman will be back in time for that, but... if he's getting time off for paternity leave and his wife or girlfriend hasn't had the baby yet, then he ain't going to be a Grand Slam. If that's the reason why he was pulled from All Out, if that's the reason why he's not going to be on TV for a while, then I honestly don't see why you would just have him back on TV 2 weeks later. He's probably going to be gone for, I would guess, the entire month of September. Arthur Ashe would be the perfect place to do it, though, in front of the biggest crowd in the company's history. I don't know if he'll be back by then. King of Doug style. 1 hour for a second show is perfect. I agree. B. Vincent 86. Seems like they knew a four-man booth was too much, and they pulled Henry for the rest of the show. I thought he got quiet. You know, they had him doing the interview stuff in the back. They pulled the wrong person. They should have pulled Jericho, is who they should have pulled. Food Hive. Shane comes and then says, which way did he go? Kenneth Taff. With AEW's success so far, how soon do you think it will take for AEW to have a WrestleMania-sized crowd event? Not too long. Honestly, I think with the right stadium, and maybe Jaguar Stadium in Jacksonville is the place to do this, but I actually think they could probably do a stadium show next year. I think a year from now, either Double or Nothing maybe, but like All Out next year, I think. If they want to, and All Out, they generally like to be in Chicago for that. But Double or Nothing, they're in Jacksonville. Or they've been in Jacksonville because of the pandemic, so maybe they go to Vegas. Wherever they are, I think by next year, and they're bringing in some big names right now, I think they could have a stadium show. I'm not saying that they'll put 65,000 people in that stadium, but do I think they could do a stadium show at some point next year and get 30, or between 30 and 40,000? I do. I don't think we're going to have to wait very long. I think they're itching to try it. I think we might see it as soon as next year. The pandemic, of course, could change all of that. You know, hopefully there's you know, no more restrictions imposed that will require them to have to go back to Daly's place. Then they won't be doing any stadium shows anytime soon, but pandemic permitting, I think we could see it as soon as next year. Anti-M Bishop 07, what's going on, Bishop? Great show tonight. Next week is going to be massive. Rest in peace, Mr. DiNucci. And get rid of the TNA title, guys. The storyline is over. That's right. Rest in peace, Dominic DiNucci, 89 years old, passed away this week. Trained names like Mick Foley and Shane Douglas. Do you realize that Dominic DiNucci wrestled his final match when he was 80 years old? About 9 years ago, he had a tag team match. He tagged with his protege, Shane Douglas. He was at an independent show up in Toronto, I believe. 80 years old. And he won! He went out a winner at the age of 80. That's boss. Dry chicken without flavor. With the $5 super chat. Friday the 13th movies had one of the best practical effects in the horror genre. So did The Thing. Carpenter's The Thing. Great practical effects. Total Recall. Total Recall had some pretty freaky effects too. Jose Leanos with the $4 super chat. Sundberg is going to hit a tope on MVP. You're probably right. It's like a rite of passage now in wrestling. You got to hit the tope. Everyone has to do a dive. Sundberg will be no different. So Sundberg will be doing dives the way that his father used to do spears. Oz and Glorious. You know, Miro the Redeemer with the hot wife will punish Sammy Guevara for giving Fuego that contract tonight. P.S. Goldberg sucked in 98 and still does. Goldberg did not suck in 98. Goldberg was one of the hottest things in wrestling in 98. And if you go back and watch some of those matches that he had with Raven and with Hogan in the Georgia Dome, and when he picked up the Giant and gave him the jackhammer, Goldberg did exactly what Goldberg should have done. Goldberg was not in there to do chain wrestling. Goldberg was not in there to do holds and counters. Goldberg served a purpose. Goldberg was the Annihilator who would come down and wreck people. And the people loved it. And he did big business. You can't argue with that. What I can argue with is that same Goldberg at 54 coming back and challenging for championships in 2021. That's stupid. But no, I will defend Goldberg, actually, in 98. Goldberg and Austin would have been a huge match. EJ Slemp, American Family Field has a roof. Is that what it's called, American Family Field? I guess it's better than Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago. Dry chicken without flavor. Would you like to see a Bullet Club versus Elite for next year's Blood and Guts? Depends who the Bullet Club members are. You got to get them established on TV. You can't just assume that everybody is going to know who they are and would know the backstory. So if they can tell that story, And depending on who's in the match representing Bullet Club, it, you know, if it's the Elite against Tama Tonga and, you know, Tangaloa, all due respect to those guys, I don't really give a shit. You got to get some names in there. Bad Luck Fale is not going to cut it. Lord Frieza, Salamonster, I am alive. Look, it's Lord Frieza. We haven't heard from him in ages. Loved Rampage. I'll be attending Dynamite on Wednesday. It's good to hear from you, Lord Frieza. I thought I had lost you forever. Cap, with another super chat. Love how you call me Cap. Did this show feel rushed? Up to the main event already and feels like it's too soon. Time flies when having fun, I guess. No, it didn't feel rushed. It was just a shorter show. We're so used to having 2 and 3 hour wrestling shows that 1 hour, it's like a shock to the system. You know, it's been a while since one of the major promotions had a 1 hour show that wasn't on YouTube. CJ Ballin or Bolin. Ballin? We'll say Ballin. AEW New Japan Impact AAA. One word. Battle Bowl. And Quintus Brown, CM Punk, open or close the show next week? That is a great question. I've thought about this, and they don't have any matches announced at this point for next week. You know, if you don't open the show with it, you'll probably have CM Punk chants nonstop until he comes out. So I almost think, depending on what they have planned for a main event, unless that is the main event, and that may well be the main event, if they have a real main event planned, you can open the show with it. I think it's okay to open the show with Punk. Or Punk and Darby, if they're going to do something with Darby face to face. But, you know, they might be setting up for the main event with some kind of confrontation with Punk and Darby. And that's how you go off the air, right? With some kind of face to face, teasing a match that eventually happens it all out. I guess it really just depends on what else are they doing on the show. Do you have any big matches planned for next week? Because if not, I'm trying to think, you know, from a television standpoint, is it easier for, if you're Tony Khan, is it easier to, or better, to have Punk, who you're going to want to give a lot of time to, and you don't want to run out of time, would it not be better to open the show with him and just let the segment go? And if it goes over a little bit, it goes over. You could always bump someone else from the show. I almost think he would rather do that than run the risk of maybe the way things are formatted, you run out of time. You don't want to run out of time for Punk's first segment on TV in 7 years. I almost think it would be better to open the show, because if it does go long, you know, they may give him a 5-minute long ovation like they gave Hogan in Montreal that time after WrestleMania. You don't know what kind of reaction he's going to get. I would actually think it's almost better to open the show that way. If he goes over, he gets all the time he needs. So if it's me, I'd probably open the show with him. Temjin Zephyr. Shout out to Temjin. Great debut for Rampage. Next week will be epic. Christian defeating Omega reminded me of when Luger defeated Hogan for the WCW title in 97. That was in Detroit. That was a fantastic moment. Great commentary, too. From Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan and Mike Tenay. Skyline 0316 with the $5. Did I actually watch a wrestling show tonight? For what the show is, I have no complaints. First AEW show I can say that about, maybe ever. Yes, Sky is not the biggest AEW fan, so for him to say anything even remotely positive about them means we had a good show tonight. That'd be like Jim Cornette storming into the chat right now and sending in a super chat and praising Tony Khan and the Young Bucks. And Kenny Omega. So if Sky liked the show, then we had a good show tonight. And Shambly Games with the $4.99. Love your show. Keep up the great work. Shambly, thank you very much. That means a lot. I'm glad that you enjoy the show. I am glad that all of you have been joining me. Oh, there's the fee. Now I'm depressed. But I'm very happy that you guys have joined me tonight. Again, we're going to be live next Friday as well. And we'll take it from there after that. For sure, we'll be live next Friday after Rampage again. And You know, whether or not this becomes a permanent weekly thing every Friday night remains to be seen. If you guys want it so, if you're going to be here with me, then we might just do this every week. But for at least these next few weeks, we are going to be live on Wednesdays and live on Fridays. Of course, next week is going to be a very busy week because it is SummerSlam week. So we're going to be live next Saturday night after SummerSlam, and then we're going to be live next Sunday night after NXT TakeOver 36. So we got a lot of live streaming to do next week, a lot of content coming here to the channel. Lakers in the chat says, donate your Super Chat money to Baron Corbin, Salama. Should I donate the Super Chats to Baron Corbin? He's a man in need. He's just trying to feed himself. He's trying to get by. I'm going to say no. I will do no such thing. Baron Corbin is going to have to fend for himself. Here's the Twitter poll one more time. Head on over to @Solomonster. That is my handle on there. You can vote in all of the polls that I put up there. Of course, we have one that's ongoing right now here in the live chat. That's another 1,200. 92% thumbs up, 8% thumbs down. So be sure to go ahead and hit thumbs up or thumbs down on what you thought of the show. And don't forget, I'm on Instagram as well. I don't plug it as often, but you'll find a link in the description down below, Instagram.com/TheSolomonster. Since I am finally starting to not neglect Instagram. I know many of you use Instagram over Twitter, so you can find me on there as well. Yes, I heard that Baron Corbin apparently stole the Money in the Bank briefcase tonight, which I guess is perfectly legal. After all, John Cena swooped in and signed a contract that Finn Balor was about to sign, and now John Cena has a title match at SummerSlam, and Finn Balor is up Schitt's Creek. So, possession is 9/10 of the law, as they say. I guess Baron Corbin is, he should be the new Mr. Money in the Bank. He won't be, but he should be. Hopefully, if he is, it'll work out better for him than his last cash-in did. It didn't work out too well for him, if you remember. But I actually like the Corbin storyline. I don't know if it's because I'm so just not enamored with most of the other storylines they're doing that it makes the Corbin one look good. But I've been saying for weeks now, I actually am amused by the Baron Corbin storyline. As far as where it's going, like, how does this end? Like, we found out today, according to Andrew Zarian of the Mat Men podcast, that the King of the Ring tournament is coming back. Somebody better go tell Xavier Woods. He's going to be over the moon when he finds out that the King of the Ring is coming back. Can you imagine if they bring back King of the Ring and they don't put that guy in the tournament? He might be suicidal. So King of the Ring is coming back in October. Queen of the Ring, we're going to have our first Queen of the Ring. And according to Cesarian, the finals of both tournaments will be taking place on that next Sweet Saudi Money show, which is probably going to be on October 21st. And already some people are wondering if perhaps Corbin is just going to... This all ends with Corbin winning King of the Ring. He gets his crown back, which I think would be a terrible idea. All that does is put him back in a shit gimmick. It was played out for 2 years. We haven't had a King of the Ring tournament in 2 years since Corbin won the last one. We don't need to see him with the crown again. Now, where this is going seems pretty obvious. There was a trademark filing many, many weeks ago on WWE's part for something called Happy Corbin. That's all it said. Happy Corbin. They're trademarking Happy Corbin. So Corbin is very sad. He's very depressed. He's down in the dumps. He's down on his luck. His luck will change. I don't know how. I don't know when. But Happy Corbin is coming since they trademarked it. I don't know what Happy Corbin looks like, but I suspect that we're going to find out soon enough. Off Leather Wings dropped a $1.99 super chat. Triple H carried The Rock all throughout 2000. Do you agree? No, I don't agree. I think that Triple H and The Rock both carried that company through the majority of the year 2000. When Austin went down with the neck injury and he missed the majority of the year, it was The Rock and Triple H who basically carried that company on their backs. They had a tremendous supporting cast. The roster in 2000, the storylines for the most part in 2000. I still maintain WWE's best creative year was 2000. For Rock and Triple H, it would be very unfair to say The Rock carried Triple H or Triple H carried The Rock. They both carried their end of the deal equally. I think back to the Iron Man match in May at the Judgment Day pay-per-view. As I recall, Rock, I think, was filming. He might have been filming some small part in a movie or something, but he was gone for a few weeks, I think. And he was the champion at the time, so he wasn't gone very long. But I remember reading at the time that the news of the Iron Man match that he was going to be having with Triple H, it came as a surprise to him. I don't think he was given a heads up about that. I don't know that he was very happy, because he had never been in a 60-minute Iron Man match before. But those two guys went out there and had what is still to this day my favorite Iron Man match in WWE. So I can't sit here and tell you that, oh, it was Triple H who carried The Rock. The Rock did perfectly fine. The Rock held up his end of the bargain. Triple H held up his end of the bargain. Triple H became, and in large part because of what Mick Foley did for him, he was cemented as a main event player that year. I don't think he carried The Rock. I think the two of them together carried the company in the year 2000. I think that that would be a more fair statement to make. Yeah, Andre, I've said that before. I think 2000 Triple H is the best Triple H. And that carried over into 2001 until he got hurt. So even Triple H into the first 5 months of 2001 was tremendous. And he had some incredible matches. Once he got hurt, he was gone for those 8 or 9 months. He came back, he was all muscled up. He was far too muscled up. And really, until he got in the ring with Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam in 02, I wasn't impressed with any of the matches that he had. And he had other injuries too. He had some kind of an elbow injury in the summer of 2002. So, you know, that may have played a role as well. But clearly he was doing things in his time off that swelled his proportions to the point where he just wasn't moving around the way that he used to be able to move around. And it affected his in-ring work. And it's stupid. And I don't know why some of these guys do that. I mean, I guess Scott Steiner, he turned it into a whole gimmick for himself. And he ended up becoming a main eventer and a world champion. That's why guys do that. But even before he started doing whatever he was doing, you know, Scott Steiner was always a big guy. Did he really need to get all roided up and muscled up the way he did there in the big Papa Pump phase? He was already a big guy. It affects your work, though. Compare the matches those guys were having before they got big to after they got big, and you can see. You can see the difference in the quality of their in-ring work. It suffered. It definitely was not what it used to be. We got some more super chats coming in. Look at this. We got Food Hive. Are we ending with WrestleMania like on Wednesday? We will. Here in a moment, we will do the WrestleMania main event. B. Vincent, Happy Corbin sounds like a Nikki Ash sidekick character. Don't get me started on Nikki Ash. That grotesque backstage promo that she cut on Monday night, the dialogue, my God. I had my vomit bucket here next to the table. It's ridiculous. Rooster loving man. Just a man and his rooster. A man and his cock. $4.99 super chat. I had an idea during SmackDown. What if they call Cameron Grimes or LA Knight to the main run? Oh no! Don't. Why would you do that? Why would you even put that out there in the atmosphere? Why would you put that? Why would you put that evil on them? What if they get called to the main roster during the draft and they become Corbin's loan shark? Why would you put that out there? Nicholas Jacobs, which WrestleMania was better in your opinion? WrestleMania 17 or WrestleMania 21? WrestleMania 17. Best top-to-bottom WrestleMania card they've ever put together. There's your answer. And I liked WrestleMania 21. I love the whole WrestleMania Goes Hollywood theme. You know, they were supposed to be in Hollywood this year for WrestleMania. And they had to push it back to next year. I'm kind of hoping they replicate that. The movie skits and the movie vignettes. I would love to see them do that again. That was my favorite part of that WrestleMania that year. It was Undertaker as Dirty Harry, Stacy Keibler as Sharon Stone. Although I guess we'll never see that replayed again. For obvious reasons, with Christian and Jericho and Benoit. We had Kurt Angle and Christy Hemme, right? When Harry Met Sally. We had Eddie Guerrero and Booker T in the Pulp Fiction skit. We had Austin as Gladiator, right? That's what opened WrestleMania. They opened with that as the intro. What were the other ones? They had one with all the wrestlers, right? From Taxi Driver, right? That was one of the ones they did. I feel like I'm missing one. That was some funny shit. I enjoyed those segments. I really did. WrestleMania Goes Hollywood. Love to see them do that again. Ah, yes. JBL and John Cena. A few good men. See, I knew I forgot one. You can't handle the truth. Yeah, Steven, I said they moved it to next year. It was supposed to be this year, but they moved it to next year. So there's still time heading into WrestleMania next year. They could do these again. Pick a whole bunch of different movies, more modern movies, and, well, maybe not modern. I mean, nothing really beats the classics, right? Triple H has Braveheart. That's right. Ric Flair was in that one, too. Triple H was Mel Gibson in Braveheart. I picture that. Picture Triple H giving a speech to the whole NXT roster like that. They'll never take our freedom. Referring to the main roster. See Triple H on his horse with the face paint on, talking to the NXT roster. What's left of the NXT roster. Talking to the seven people that are fucking left on the NXT roster by that point. Eugene as Forrest Gump. That's another one. That's right. Eugene was Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump. See, they had a lot of creativity with those segments. That's something that is missing these days. Where's the creativity? Why can't we have that back? Triple H doing the Braveheart speech in the NXT parking lot. Hey, the NXT parking lot is a very dangerous place. People get attacked there all the time and mugged, kidnapped. Attempted vehicular manslaughter. Remember when Karrion Kross tried to run down Johnny Gargano with his car a few weeks ago? He got saved by Samoa Joe. It's a dangerous place, that NXT parking lot. Chris wants to know, have I watched Game of Thrones? I have not. What are my thoughts on the Keith Lee video? I'll be talking about that on Sunday on the podcast. But I'm happy that he is doing better. Yeah, Big T says if Cole was smart, he would have his bags packed before next Saturday to do the job for Kyle O'Reilly and get the hell out of there. I agree. I don't know, man. I just feel like he's going to end up re-signing. I have this horrible feeling, this horrible sinking feeling he's just going to sign because it's the allure of WWE and it's the place he's always wanted to be and he has a lot of friends there, and he loves Triple H, and he loves Shawn Michaels, and if they have Shawn Michaels do the hard sell to try to get him to stay, I think he'll end up staying. Does Solid Monster have road rage? Yes. But only because there's a lot of really stupid drivers on the road who don't deserve to be driving. They have no business being on the road. It's not my fault. It's not my fault that there's a lot of really stupid drivers out there. Roman against The Rock is a pipe dream. I think Roman against The Rock is the working plan for WrestleMania next year, right? But how many times have we heard that, right? Rock and Triple H was the working plan for the last time they were in Dallas. Actually, now that I think about it, they're not in Hollywood next year. I take that back. I thought they were in Hollywood next year. They're not. They're in Dallas next year. They're in Hollywood in 2023. So I guess we're not getting those movie vignettes for a while. Shit. Why did I think they were in LA next year? But yeah, the last WrestleMania in Dallas was going to be Rock and Triple H, which I wanted to see. I would like to see one more, or I wanted at the time anyway. I wanted to see one more Rock Triple H match because I was a fan of their rivalry. And The Rock just couldn't make it happen. So instead, we ended up with Triple H as the WWE champion, defending against Roman Reigns. Thanks a lot, Rock. Am I going to be watching Triple Mania and New Japan Resurgence tomorrow? I am not going to be home until very late, so I will do my best to at least catch up with what happens on the New Japan show before Sunday, but I'm not going to be here for a good part of the evening. You should grow a beard, Solomonster. No, I don't think so. I've tried. It takes too long. It's not a good look. If it grew in quickly, it may be, but it's too slow growing. Actually, I had to go. Well, I don't want to get into all of it, but I had to go to a doctor's appointment yesterday to have a test done, and they rubbed this gel all over your chest and take a sonogram of your heart. And I wasn't warned in advance that they have to, and I should have known this because I had this test done to me years ago when I was in the hospital once. But this woman comes over with a razor blade, and she just starts scraping hair off my chest. It's like, but not all of it, just like little sections. I look like something out of the 40-year-old virgin now when he was getting waxed. I felt violated. I go, nobody warned me about this. I look ridiculous now. And it hurt. Oh, I'm sorry. A little bit of warning would have been nice. But now it looks all weird. Got like little holes where the hair used to be. Nobody warned me that they were going to have to do that. And Turtlehead. I guess we'll end with Turtlehead is the last super chat. I was being essential today. Did I like this show? Thanks for all you do, pal. You did. You did like this show. I'm telling you that you like this show. Did I cuss like the movie? I didn't cuss. No. I'm in the presence of a lady. I have to be a gentleman. I didn't cuss. But it was very much unexpected, I will say that. Nobody, like when I hurt my leg, you guys know that story, I'm not going to get into it again, but when I hurt my leg and then I had to have surgery a few months later to get the glass out of the leg, you know, when I went into the hospital, the woman came over to me and she said, okay, you know, we're gonna shave your legs. It's like, excuse me? But I guess because of where they were going to go in, they had to shave, you know, part of the leg. I said, okay. So she warned me, and then I watched, and it looked ridiculous, of course, but eventually it grew back. But at least I had some kind of warning. This is like she enjoyed this time, just pulling out the razor and just... It's like, that was not a good day. Do a sleep stream. You know, this computer has been cooperating very well the last few weeks. I don't want to jinx it and put any undue stress on it and stream for 12 hours straight, and then this thing goes kaput. It's actually been on its best behavior since we had that catastrophe a few weeks ago. Griga with the $2. Great show, Solomonster. Thank you. Do you remember when you were forced to listen to Brie Mode while getting an MRI? Yes, I do. Of course I do. How can I ever forget? I had to go for an MRI a few years ago. And it's very claustrophobic in that machine. You can't move. Once they say you got to lay still, you can't move, right? But they put music on the speaker. And they said, you know, if you have music on your phone, we can actually sync it to the speaker and we can play music on your phone. And I had, I think it was Spotify. It was like a wrestling playlist. I was like, put that on. So there were a whole bunch of random songs on some WWE station or wrestling station in Spotify. And I'll never forget, I'm laying there in that machine and it's like, don't move, right? Or you'll screw up the whole test. And you got to lay there for like 20 minutes. And then Brie Mode comes on. And I mean, you talk about a fucking nightmare scenario. This is like something out of a horror film. I don't think John Carpenter, Wes Craven, some of the best horror directors couldn't come up with a scene like this. I'm laying there. You should have seen. A single tear was almost running down my eye as I had to lay there helpless, unable to move as I listened to Brie Mode. Nothing worse. I couldn't think of a nightmare worse than that. Thankfully, it wasn't on repeat. Thank God. I think after that, it went to Pile Driver. Coco Beware. That was okay. Brie Mode was not. It's completely defenseless. Naif. With another super chat, 8:10 in the morning here. Good night, Solomon. So look, this is the dedication from Naif, because he's in a different time zone. It's 8:00 in the morning where he is. He stayed up all night. That's dedication right there. Naif, get yourself a good night's sleep, my friend. I appreciate the support. And Food Hive, you talk about Murphy and Black's videos being connected. I don't have any plans of talking about it. I did see the video. It looks like there may be a connection, but that's really just speculation at this point. We just don't know. Girls in Cars. I like Girls in Cars. That's another good one. Strike Force. John Carpenter's Brie Mode, rated R. You sure do have a lot of hospital stories. Yeah, unfortunately. You only knew the half of it. You should end the stream with a bar story. Well, you sure do love those bar stories. Sean O'Hare in the chat just got done doing a 12-hour shift at 6:07 a.m. Listen to episode 212. You sounded so much happier about the product in WWE. Fast forward to today. It's amazing the difference that 9 years can make. 212, I was happy just because I did all those interviews. That was the WrestleMania 28 weekend in Miami. We did Radio Row. I got to sit down with John Cena and Daniel Bryan, Edge, before he went into the Hall of Fame that weekend. I'm sitting at a table literally 2 feet in front of me interviewing Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard together. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Kofi Kingston, Kelly, Shawn Michaels, Cena, I mentioned. The coolest part was we had no idea who we were even going to interview. It's 6:30 in the morning. I was expecting some of the lower card guys to come out. And then I see Daniel Bryan, who's the world heavyweight champion, walking my way. I see John Cena being brought over. I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't prepare for this. So you literally, I had, I had, from the time that the WWE PR person was bringing him over to me, and I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and then I shook his hand and he sat down. So let's say that whole thing took about 20 seconds, maybe. That's how long I had to think in my head, oh shit, what question do I ask this guy? You know, we got 10 minutes or 8 minutes or 12 minutes with him, whatever it was. Cena, I think we had about 5 or 6 minutes. But it wasn't hard. You know, the questions came to me and it was great. And then I spliced them all together. So if you want to go back and listen to them, episode 212, man. Episode 212. That was a fun one. All right, guys. It's after 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure you all want to get to bed. Or unless some of you are on the West Coast. Maybe it's a little earlier, but I'll let you guys go so you can get some rest. I need some rest too. It's got more work to do tomorrow for episode 717, which is going to be dropping on Sunday. Got a lot of history stuff to cover, some good stuff. And we'll be talking about Keith Lee. We'll be talking about Bray Wyatt. Got a new report on Bray Wyatt and all these stories from months ago about mental health issues and stuff, which I never put much stock into. And now we know the real story per Fightful. I'm going to be talking about that. We'll talk about everything else that is worth talking about this week. That'll be on Sunday. And then I will be back with you on Wednesday night live for AEW Dynamite. And back here next Friday, Dynamite. Or not Dynamite, Rampage. I got to get my show straight here. Rampage from the United Center in Chicago. It's happening. All the questions, all the emails, all the tweets I've gotten over the years. Is CM Punk going to come back? Do you think CM Punk is ever going to come back? What kind of reaction is he going to get if CM Punk comes back? He abandoned the fans. Are they going to boo him? Not in Chicago, they won't. This is going to be fun. This is going to be a very big deal, even if you're not a CM Punk fan. Him coming back in that building, his music hitting, and him walking out there is going to be a big deal for AEW. This is going to be the start of a new chapter for him and the start of a new chapter for this company when he and Brian come in. And it's a pretty safe bet it's going to be happening in 7 days. And I hope you'll come back here and join me live next week when it does. So until then, be well, stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend. See Moonsault, you get the last super chat, brother. Is Darby Alley, he says. Darby Alley, come on, dude. Darby Alley, is that Kirstie Alley's son? Is Darby Alley this era's CM Punk? Well, is he straight edge? I think he is, right? He is straight edge. Because that's about the only similarity I see between the two of them. I think Darby Allin is going to be this era's Darby Allin. I don't think he needs to be in the shadow of anybody else. But thank you, C. Moonsault. And just because, even though it's not Friday the 13th anymore, but because I love Friday the 13th, I'll end with the intro. For those of you who may have missed it at the beginning. So I hope you guys enjoy too. See you back here for more Rampage coverage next Friday. Until then, take care, guys.